I don't know if I can over top that. Yeah, very good. Thank you, Nancy. Thank you, and all of you from the bottom of our heart. We love you very dearly. Well, this morning is our second part of Jesus' overcoming Satan's temptations. Before I read scripture to go get into this, how many of you were not tempted this week? And if you were, did you give in? Or did you use scriptures in your defense? Like we'll be seeing here this morning in this particular text, Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. We're just going to be doing one of the temptations this morning, the first one, and because each temptation has a message in it within itself. As I got to reading, I said, there's no way I can cover all three of these in one message. So when I get back, I'll do the third one, the second temptation, and after that, the third one. Because as we look into scriptures and everything that Jesus did, everything he went about doing was always good. And Jesus didn't do anything unless he made preparation in advance as well. And how much more that we need to make preparations in our life as we are faced with each day of temptation or the task that we go about each day in our life, whether it be work or whatever, each day that when we get up in the morning and we get ready and we go out the door, we don't know what's going to happen, what to expect, but if we leave with the Lord, then he'll be with us all day. Of course, he's in our presence, but he wants to be right by our side. What I'm meaning here is depending upon him. As I was sharing Natalie a while ago about the Word of God, it's alive, and it speaks to our hearts, and it runs after us, and it takes hold of our lives. When we get into it and we study it and we meditate upon it, just like Jesus did and spent much of his time in the garden, Mount of Olives, praying, seeking the Father's will. And he asked the disciples when he was going to be taken captive that day and that evening when they came and took Jesus and bound him up and took him away to be tried. And he asked the disciples, pray with me. Just pray. You stay here, I'm going ahead, and just me and the Father, one-on-one, but you stay here and pray with me, that you might not fall into temptation yourselves, because Satan is going to be buffeting you. He's going to look at you and try to find out your weaknesses. And of course, one of their weaknesses was the physical. They was tired. They had a long day, just like Jesus. And Jesus came back. First time, he said, can you stay awake 1 hour? And, of course, he came back the third time and said, sleep on. You know, the time has come. And that's, last week I shared, as Jesus was baptized and come up out of the water, and God said, this is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. And right after that, the Spirit took him out into the wilderness. And that's what this message is about, the temptation that Jesus went through, 40 days and 40 nights. And many of us, well, we couldn't go 40 days without food or water. And Jesus did, because he committed himself totally to the Father's will. And the temptation in our lives, whether it be one day, one moment, in Jesus, it was 40 days, 40 nights. And sometimes we give in instantly if we're not strong in our faith. And knowing what the scripture says about any given decision or any temptation at the moment that we are confronted by Satan. And Satan is the one behind all of this. So as we look at this morning, let me turn over back to, chapter 4. And I'm going to read verses 3 and 4. That's the two we'll be looking at this morning. I don't have them on the screen, but I'll have them in a few minutes. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God." You see how he twisted words and said, "If you are the Son of God." He didn't say, "You are the Son of God." Of course, he knew he was the Son of God. But just like he tested Eve in the garden, surely thou shalt not die. See, Satan knows how to twist the word. He makes it sound real and convincing, but he's always got something to trick us up and make us fall into temptation and sin. So if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. In verse 4, but Jesus answered and said, "It is written." There it is. And see, we can say the same thing, if we're tempted. "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." So first of all, we're going to be looking at the temptations of Jesus in this passage of Scripture, just the first one. But as we look at it, the temptations are real. Temptations are real. Now, temptation is not a sin. How many of you thought temptation is a sin? Okay, that's good. You knew that. It's not. It's when you yield to that temptation that it becomes a sin in your life. See, Satan, he knows that. But if he can just get you to take the bait and swallow it and take it all in, then that's when sin, a temptation becomes a sin, becomes evident. So, in this first one, as we look at temptation, Satan came at Jesus three different areas. So these temptations are three different areas in Jesus' life. And it's the same thing in our life. Jesus will come, he may come three or four or five different areas in our life where he knows that we are the weakest and we're willing to give in. If we're not strong in that area, or if we're not strong in our faith, then he's going to work on those areas where we are the weakest. So Satan came to Jesus in three different areas. First of all, we see three temptations for three needs overcome by three answers from Jesus. Okay? Jesus had an answer for each one of them. And whether Satan was prepared or ready for Jesus' response, he used scriptures, and it works for Jesus. And it'll work for us as well. So most people forget that it's not sin to be it's not a sin to be tempted, but we sin when we yield to temptation. So remember, temptations are merely opportunities to sin. If you think of it that way, temptations are merely opportunities to sin, but God always provides a way of escape. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, Jesus said he will provide a way for anyone to escape temptation if you're willing to look for that way out. And you see, and he gave Jesus a way out. And of course, Jesus was always obedient in every area in his life. And we so much more need to be more faithful and committed to Jesus in our life as well, so that when one of these areas, whether it be physical, emotional, spiritual, whatever that temptation might be in our life, one of these areas, Satan will attack and try to tempt us and cause us to sin. So the first temptation was for Jesus to distrust the providential care of the Father to serve himself. Okay? That was the first temptation. And the second temptation was to presume on the Father's care by putting him to the test. That was the second one. And then the third one, of course, I won't be dealing with the second or third, but I'm just giving you a heads up now so that you know where I'm headed in this message pertaining to the temptations that Jesus faced. So the third temptation was for him to renounce the way of his father and to substitute the way of Satan. And that's what Satan was trying to do. If one didn't work, he'd try another. The second one didn't work, then he tried the third. And then, not only in Matthew, but also in Luke chapter 4, verse 13, it says that after Satan realized that Jesus was not going to fall for his temptations or try to persuade him to give up his divine presence, his divine nature, he left. But the scripture said that he would come back at a more opportune time. Okay? So if you don't give in first time, second time, third time, then he'll come back later at another opportunity when he sees that you may be weak in a particular area and tempt you again. So this morning, we're looking at number one temptation, self-satisfaction, or to live to satisfy one's needs and desires. That's what Satan tries to do, to tempt us in that area. So let's look at verse 3 again. And the tempter came to him, came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread." Okay? At this point in time, Satan knew 40 days, 40 nights, you know, Jesus is going to be hungry. And so it was, he thought, well, this is a no-brainer. He will fall for this. You know, God provided for the Israelites in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights with manna. And it just came out of heaven and they had planted to eat. So Satan was going back and said, okay, you can turn these stones into bread. You can have it right here instantly. But Jesus chose not to do that. So need number one, as we see, the devil tried to use the real physical need of hunger. You see, he started with the physical need. And then if that don't work, he'll go to an emotional need or a spiritual need or something like that in your life that you depend upon or that satisfies your desires or your physical things in life. And that's where Satan attacked Jesus. So, and then he says, if you be the Son of God, if you be, he knew it was, but he said, if you are, was a challenge to prove himself, and Satan wanted to twist the divine mission. He wanted to twist Jesus' mission, what Jesus came to this earth to save those who are lost, to meet the needs, whether it be physical or spiritual, whatever it needs to. He wanted to twist why Jesus came to this earth and said, if you be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. So what kind of Messiah will you be? That's what Satan says. What kind of Messiah would you be? Use your supernatural power for the physical need. See, he was trying to get Jesus to use his supernatural powers for the benefit of Satan. So we should not do anything to gratify Satan and give in to his temptation just because of our physical need or spiritual need or emotional need. So all you need to do, Satan was saying, to save them from hunger, meet their legitimate human needs. Just meet it and you'll be fine. And it was a temptation to act independently to God. That's what Satan was wanting Jesus to do, to work independently. Okay, you know, you're the Son of God. You have your own powers. You have your own authority. You don't need to have a father to help you make the decision. But Jesus would say, I don't do anything on my own initiative except what the Heavenly Father tells me to do. So if we remember that in our own lives and say, you know, I'm not going to make any decision unless I ask the Father first, the Heavenly Father. And whatever He tells me to do, that's what I'm going to do. And that's what Jesus did. So, and to act supernaturally to meet His needs instead of depending on God to meet Him. Okay? So would Jesus use His position or authority for selfish ends? No, He would not. Would Jesus use His power for selfish ends? So the devil wanted to raise doubts in the Lord's mind. Not very smart, is he? He is smart, but he's not very wise when it comes to the Heavenly Father and Jesus' powers and their wisdom and their understanding. See, he wanted Jesus to say, this is what he wanted Jesus to say, I haven't eaten for 40 days. Is God ever going to come through for me? See, that's what Satan was wanting him to say. Can I trust my Father? Is he going to be there for me when I need him? You know, a lot of people have said that in life. Is he going to be there? Why isn't he here now for me? I'm going through all of these things in life. I've had people come to my office and said, you know, I pray and I pray and I pray, and don't see my prayers go as any higher than the ceiling. I said, well, when's the last time you asked the Lord to forgive you of your sin? Maybe that's why they're not going past the ceiling. See, God is not obligated to any of us if we have sin in our life. So that's why it's always good to always be prayed up. Lord, whatever enters in my mind, help me to your defense through the power of the Holy Spirit to say no. And say, Lord, forgive me for any thought, deed, or action that I've committed this day that I might be pure in your sight. So many people have doubts that God can provide their physical, financial, and human needs. So Satan sought to use weakness or of hunger to cause Jesus to be impatient with the Father rather than to depend upon him. Now, Christ's response here in verse 4 is a biblical and it's profound. And why I say profound, listen to what it says here in verse 4. But he answered and said, it is written. How long has it been written? Well, it was written centuries and years ago. Even back in the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 20. You know, you shall have no other God before me. You shall not tempt your God, your Father, in any way. So that's what Jesus says. It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So whatever God has breathed into the Word of God, the Scriptures, that's what we have right here. In 2 Timothy 3:16, the Bible says, Paul says that the Word of God was breathed by the Heavenly Father to those who wrote it down, who took it and penned it and wrote. And that's why we have it today. So see, we have the Scriptures right here in front of us that we might be able to, just like Jesus, say, as it is written. That you know, I'm a child of God, so I have a way of escape. And the Heavenly Father is going to provide it for me. And all I've got to do is ask Him for His help, and He will show me a way out. That's all we have to do. It is written. That is your way of escape. That whatever temptation that comes our way, He will provide a way for you, for me, to escape that temptation, that it might not be a sin or become a sin in our life. So, going back, that was 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. God will give you a way of an escape. And, well, actually, all you got to say, just get lost. Get lost, Satan. Get out of here. You have no hold on my life. So, the Lord Jesus answered the devil by proclaiming the word of God, and it's always sufficient. It will always sustain. It will always sanctify and support us in the most desperate hour of need of temptation. So the Lord Jesus insisted that people need more bread of life spiritually than the physical things of this life. We do. Now, we have to have the physical needs of food and things like that. But when it comes down to the spiritual things of life, the bread of life is most important, because God's always going to provide for that. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, it says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the other things in life will be given to you," or it will be added unto you. Matthew 6:33. And in Psalms 119:9, it says, "How can a young man keep his way?" How can anyone keep their way? By keeping it according to your word. And in verse 11, "Your word I've hidden," or "your treasure in my heart, that I might not sin against you." You see how all the scriptures that come together, combine together, gives us a way out over temptation and sin? Psalms 119:9. Psalms 119:11. "Your word have I treasured," or "hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against God." You know, that is one of the probably most popular scriptures in Vacation Bible School. I know we use it at church camp. When we say pledges to the flag, United States flag and the Bible and Christian flag, you know, that's part of that pledge. To say, you know, that I hide the word of God in my heart that I might not sin. And see, that's our way out of temptation. So, memorize the scriptures, and it will preserve you from sin, self-destruction, and disobedience. And we need to focus on God's eternal purpose, not on our own temporary concerns as we face our daily test. And in conclusion, true life depends not upon satisfying material wants, but upon obedience to following God. That's what it depends upon. Our true life depends upon the obedience to God. So, I want to close with this. The guiding principle of Jesus' life, revealed here in verse 4, I just read a few minutes ago, should be the guiding principle of our life too. It was Jesus' life, but it should be ours. Jesus said in Matthew 5:6, and I like this verse because it's part of the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus said, "Blessed, blessed, blessed, blessed." And here I want to use this verse because it goes with the last verse I talked about a while ago. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." And here in Matthew 5:6, it says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness." You see, that they may be filled or satisfied. You see, Jesus was satisfied because he had the word, he was divine, he was physical, and yet he depended upon the Father. And so should we as well, to help us in any temptation or anything in life that could cause us to fall under Satan's temptations. See, it all started back in the Garden of Eden, didn't it? The Heavenly Father went to Adam and told Adam, this is the way it's going to be, Adam. And Adam tells Eve, and then Satan comes along, tempts Eve. She falls for it because he twists the word of what the Heavenly Father told Adam, and she fell for it. And then Adam already knew, but yet he was weak at that moment, and he gave in as well. See, we have the scriptures now. We have them. If we apply those and use them, what a great benefit it will make, not only here in this life, but through eternity. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this message today. We thank you for understanding. You give us your insight, your interpretation of the scriptures, of this one temptation that Jesus went through, turning the stone into bread. And yet Jesus said, you know, I don't live a bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. If we could only remember and be faithful to that, our life would be much better. We would have greater joy in our Christian life. We would have greater presence in the righteousness of the Heavenly Father, who is always present. You're always present in our life. So whatever the needs are here today in this congregation and those listening live, Lord, I pray that this will be a reminder to each one of us that all we have to do is just look up, look to you for all the answers, because you have them. We don't, but we know who does, and we know where to find them in your word. Lord, thank you for each one here. I thank you, Lord, that you love us and you care for us, and you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross for us. You took care of all that sin, our past, present, and our future. And you promise you'll be with us to the ends of the ages. Lord, thank you for this time. And I pray, Lord, that during this invitation, our response will say yes. Yes to you, Jesus. I will follow you. I'll be committed to you. I'll be faithful to the end. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Let us stand.